Please turn your Bibles again to Matthew chapter 6. We have been studying the Lord's Prayer, and with God's help this morning, we have come to the last petition of this prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. But I will also include the previous petitions, starting with verse 9. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. May the Lord add His divine blessings to the proclamation of His word. As we study this petition, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, there are three questions that we will seek to answer. And here's the first one. What does the word petition, or rather, what does the word temptation mean in this petition? Second, what does it mean to pray and lead us not into temptation? And finally, how can we apply this to our daily life? First of all, what does the word temptation mean in this petition? In Greek, the word temptation has two possible meanings. You can translate that Greek word as examination or trial or test, or as enticement to evil, or as we would say today, temptation. So first of all, the Greek word for the word temptation in our text can mean trial or tests. For example, in James chapter 1, verse 2, we read, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials or temptations of various kinds." If you have the King James version with you, you will notice that the word trials in ESV is translated temptations in the King James version. Obviously, James does not mean temptations or enticements here in James 1 verse 2. It would not make sense if we say, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet different enticements to sin or allurements." It would not make sense. So obviously, he means trials or tests. On the other hand, the word, or the Greek word for the word temptation here, can mean, as I've said earlier, enticement to sin. And I believe it is in this sense that Jesus is using the word temptation in the sixth petition. Having said that, I want to give you three important clarifications. And here's the first one. When we pray, "Our Heavenly Father, lead us not into temptation," we are not suggesting that God tempts us to sin. God does not tempt us. And that's clear when we read James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. So, when we say that God does not tempt us, he does not cause us to sin. He does not entice us to do evil. God will never do that. That's the work of Satan. Mark 1, verse 13. Do you remember when the Holy Spirit brought Jesus into that wilderness? Satan tempted Jesus. So we read in Mark 1, 13, and when he was in the wilderness for 40 days, he was tempted by Satan. Now, when the Bible says that Satan tempted Jesus, it doesn't mean that Jesus sinned. No. Temptation in itself is not a sin. So when Satan tempted Jesus, it means that he tried to make Jesus sin. But obviously, Satan did not succeed because Jesus did not yield to Satan's sinful temptation. The author of Hebrews says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way." So Jesus has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. So it is possible to be tempted and not commit sin. And so when God leads you into temptation, when he does that, God is not necessarily causing you to sin. It is when you succumb to that temptation that you sin. It is when you yield to Satan's temptation that you sin. So keep that in mind. God does not tempt us. Now, you might say, well, how about Genesis 22 verse 1, where we read in the King James Version, "And it came to pass after these things that God tempted Abraham." What? God tempted Abraham? Well, again, the word temptation has two possible meanings. So you need to decide depending on the context. Does the word temptation here mean trial or enticement, allurement? Again, obviously, God will never cause us to sin, will never seduce us to sin. And so this verse cannot mean that God tempted Abraham to sin. That's why the ESV, thankfully we have the ESV version, which already clarifies that. And so when you open your Bible to Genesis 22 verse 1, there you will read, "After these things, God tested Abraham." And amen to that version. Amen to that translation. That's the sense of that verse. God tested Abraham. That is to say, God put Abraham's faith to test. He examined the genuineness of Abraham's faith. And the purpose of this test or this trial was to purify Abraham's faith. So in other words, the purpose of this test, or if you want to use that obsolete word, temptation, the purpose of that temptation, the good temptation, you have evil temptation, was to help Abraham grow more in his relationship with God. It was to purify and strengthen his faith. So God does not tempt us. Second, clarification. Before we understand the meaning of this petition, listen now please. Second clarification. If you and I get tempted, we cannot blame God. Yes, it is true. It is God who leads us into temptation. Or you can even say it is God who gives that temptation to you. But if you sin by yielding to that temptation, you cannot charge God, or you cannot make God or hold God responsible for your sin. Again, James 1:13 is so clear about that. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. When Adam sinned, when he yielded to Satan's temptation, do you know what he did? He started placing the blame on God. And so he said to God in Genesis 3:12, Lord, you see, I sinned because of the woman whom you gave to be with me. She gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate. And how often we do the same. When we sin, we find someone to blame. We say, well, the reason why I sinned was because someone caused me to sin. No, he did not cause you to sin. It was you who caused yourself to sin. Because no one can force you to sin. And by the way, you see that when a martyr is about to be executed, usually the persecutor would say, you recant Jesus and we will set you free. But mostly, by God's grace, these faithful martyrs would rather die than deny Jesus. So even the persecutors, even Satan, could not force us to sin. And so we cannot blame God nor Satan. Third clarification. If we are tempted to sin, it is our own fault. It is your own fault, and it is my own fault. James 1:14, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own. By his own. If you recall, Jesus told his disciples in Luke 22, verse 40, pray that you may not enter into temptation. You see, it is God who leads us in His own sovereign will, in His own wisdom. He leads us into temptation. But it is us who enter into the temptation. And so Jesus told His disciples, pray that you may not enter into temptation. Someone has said, Satan, like a fisher, baits his hook according to the appetite of the fish. You see, when we are tempted, we are like a fish drawn away out of the water by a hook it has swallowed. Satan is trying to catch you with his bait. And he knows precisely the kind of bait that you like. I guess now living here in Michigan and pastoring a congregation like this with fishermen, I've come to appreciate fishing. Recently, I had the privilege to ice fish, although we did not catch any. But there, you know, I noticed that really, we are tempters. You know, fishermen, that's our job, to tempt the fish. Because we can't really force the fish. In the first place, when you ice fish, you don't see the fish underneath. But you're hoping that somehow a foolish fish would swallow that bait that you have. And of course, if you don't know the kind of bait that those fishes want, then you don't expect to get any. So you need to find out their like, that which will really allure them and entice them to swallow that bait. Now that's what Satan is doing. He throw that bait. That's the temptation. That in itself is not sinful. It's not a sin. It is when you start swallowing. You know, at first I would imagine a fish would first look at that bait and it looks good. Like what happened in the Garden of Eden. When Eve saw that fruit, boy, it looks good. And then Satan started to question God's word, to make Eve doubt God's promise. And so Eve sinned. Adam sinned. And so if we are tempted, it is our own fault. Now, what does it mean then to pray, lead us not into temptation? Well, it means, Lord, our Heavenly Father, allow us not to be tempted, or allow us not to enter into temptation. Because God can allow you and me to enter into temptation. But again, it doesn't mean that God is causing us to sin. No. I think the best illustration that I can give to you is Job. Do you remember Satan came to God and he said to God, you see, the reason why Job is serving you because you have blessed him tremendously. Take those blessings from him and he will start to curse you. And in Job 1 verse 12, God said to Satan, behold, all that Job has is in your hand. Only against him do not stretch out your hand. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord to entice Job to sin. Two perspectives. You can read that verse from two angles. Angle one is this. It was God who ultimately led Job into Satan's temptation. And how did he do that? By permitting Satan to tempt Job. God could have said to Satan, Satan, no, you cannot tempt Job. But in God's own wisdom, he allowed Satan to tempt Job. So you can say God led Job into temptation. Now, listen to this, please. When God brought, or in the sixth petition, the word lead there can also be translated carry or bring. So picture this, that God himself carried Job. God himself brought Job into Satan's temptation. But his intention was never to make Job sin. His intention was not to cause Job to curse God. That was the intention of Satan. And so, Satan's intention in that temptation was to tempt or entice Job so that Job could curse God. So, Satan and God had two different intentions or motives. I don't know if you're getting my point. So whenever God allows you into temptation, his intention is never to weaken your faith. His intention is to strengthen your faith. Whenever God allows you into temptation, Satan's temptation, his motive is to test the reality and genuineness of your faith. Whereas Satan's temptation or Satan's intention in tempting you is always to destroy, to weaken your faith. And so we need to pray and say, Lord, please don't allow me to be tempted by the devil. And by the way, those who pray that prayer will readily acknowledge God's sovereignty over all. This is where sometimes, yes, we cannot fully understand why would even God allow us into temptation or lead us into temptation. Many have asked that question. When God created Adam and Eve, why did God create the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? So in that sense, God brought Adam and Eve into the temptation. You see, his motive was not to destroy them. His motive was to test them. And God is still doing the same to us. Now, how can we apply this? What is Jesus teaching us here in this petition? Well, let me suggest five lessons. They all start with letter A for your convenience. Here's the first one. Whenever you pray this petition, God wants you to admit. So admit your great tendency to sin. All of us, and no one is exempted. All of us still have this sin that remains in us. We call it the indwelling sin. That's why even Paul said in Romans 7, verses 19 and 20, "For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I don't want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me." Yes, God saved us from the power and penalty of sin. Yes, we are no longer under Satan's dominion. Yes, we are no longer under the kingdom of sin. It is no longer sin that rules over us. But the truth is, you and I, as long as you live, as long as you remain in this corrupt body, we will struggle every day with that dwelling sin, with that flesh. And so we need to realize our inclination to sin. Someone said, the strongest man that ever lived is not strong to meet Satan alone. And we have to acknowledge also that Satan is powerful. He is our enemy. In 1 Peter 5 verse 8, we are reminded to be sober-minded and to be watchful. Why? Peter says, your adversary, the devil, prowls or roars around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. You see, that's what Satan is doing right now with his demons, the fallen angels, their ministry, their job is to cause you to sin. And yes, God may allow you to be led into temptation. And so we need to acknowledge that indwelling sin and our enemy Satan, we need to be humble enough to say, Lord Jesus, I am weak. I am weak. You know, one of the problems of Peter was that he became too overconfident. When Jesus foretold Peter's denial, Peter answered Jesus in Matthew 26, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, truly I tell you, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same. You know, it really scares me when someone tells me, you know, I cannot be tempted. I'm strong enough. I can handle the temptation. That really scares me. Paul said, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. So first application, admit, acknowledge your tendency, your great tendency to fall into sin. Second, having acknowledged your weakness, then ask God to help you. Ask God to help you. That's why the second part of this petition says, but deliver us from evil. Lord, I am weak. I cannot fight against Satan. I cannot overcome this indwelling sin by myself. Lord, I need you. Please deliver me. I cannot deliver myself from Satan. I cannot deliver myself from this temptation. Someone has to rescue me from this temptation. And the God who brings you into the temptation is the same God who will take you away, who will rescue you from that temptation. We need God's grace to fight against our enemy. Like what I said, Satan is powerful. And yet, the one who lives in you is greater than Satan who is in the world. And Jude chapter 1 verse 24 says, now to him who is able to keep you from falling or from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, listen to this. Yes, Satan is great, but our God is greater than Satan. And our God, according to this verse, Jude 1:24, is able to keep us from falling into temptation. And so what we need to do is ask God to help us. My friend, you know your own weakness. You know your own darling sin. You probably have this kind of sin. Yes, you forsook that sin before, but you return to that sin again and you keep doing that sin again. And you struggle. You don't want to do it, but don't you feel helpless? And you say, who will deliver me from this temptation? And Paul said, but thanks be to God. I have the Lord Jesus Christ who can deliver me from this evil. And so why don't you come to God? He's waiting for you. Again, you cannot blame God if you fall into sin. He has given you all the available sanctifying means of grace for your spiritual life. They are for you to use. Use them. Use the word of God like what Jesus did when Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness. If you notice, Jesus would say, "It is written." Satan, it is written. So Jesus knew the Bible. We need to know the Bible too. And so when Satan comes to us, we can say, "Satan, it is written. It is written. I cannot do that," with a clear conscience. Ask help from God. Third. Yes, God is willing to help us, but we have the duty to avoid the devil. Avoid the devil. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Don't give in to his temptation. Flee from all occasions that lead us into temptation. Paul exhorts us in Ephesians 4:27. Give no opportunity to the devil. Don't give Satan a chance, an opportunity to tempt you to sin. I remember meeting when I was in the Philippines. I met this guy who was once addicted to alcohol. And he really suffered from the consequence of that sin. And the Lord saved him. He's now a believer in Christ. But he told me that while he's aware that drinking in itself is not sin, he said, "I won't drink. I will not even allow a bottle of wine in my house because I know myself. I know my weakness. I know myself enough that once I see that bottle of wine and once I smell it, before I know it, I would be falling into that sin. I would be getting drunk again." See, that's the point of Paul. Give no opportunity to the devil. Get rid of all those things that you have in your house that might cause you to sin. Better to have one eye than two eyes. Remember? If that eye will cause you to commit sin, pluck it out. Of course, not literally. But the point is, you know those things around you that Satan usually uses to invite you to sin. Depart from all kinds of evil. Learn from Joseph the dreamer when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife. "Come to bed with me." And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, Joseph refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. But he left his cloak or garment in her hand and ran out of the house. You see, I agree with this person who said, temptation is the devil whistling at the keyhole. Sinning is opening at the door and telling him in. You see, you are locked up and Satan will try to find an opportunity to tempt you. See that keyhole, he sees you there and he whistles, "Woohoo, woohoo, I have something here for you. You will like it." Temptation. Hearing the temptation is not necessarily sinful. But it is when you open that door and you say, "Satan, come in, you're welcome." That's the problem. We need to guard ourselves against the devil. He's smart. He's wise. He's cunning. He knows what he's doing. And then finally, and this is our comfort. This is my comfort. As we struggle with temptations every day, Satan's temptations, anticipate your complete deliverance from all evil. Yes, yes, brother and sister in the Lord, God will completely liberate us from the remaining sin that dwells in us. Philippians 1:6, Paul says, and this is his confidence, and I am sure of this. He doesn't doubt it. He is sure about this, so certain that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. God is going to deliver you completely from the remaining sin. So we need to anticipate that. Now, why I'm saying this? Well, because for sure, like me, there are times that you feel discouraged. Because you see, what sin does is this: sin brings guilt in us. And when you have that guilt, let's say you sinned. So you opened that door, you listened to Satan. You feel guilty now. And that guilt will devastate your life. It can ruin your spiritual life. Now you don't want to go to church because you feel ashamed of your sin. As if everyone was looking at you. Sometimes you feel that. As if everyone knew the sin that you committed. That's what sin does. That's because of your guilt. So you become paranoid. Did he see me when I committed that sin? And now you feel ashamed of even communing with God. You don't want to pray together anymore. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I have offended you many times. I think, Lord, you cannot forgive me anymore. You don't want to go to church. You don't want to fellowship with others. You don't want to read God's word. Oh, my friend, please. Oh, don't focus on your misery. Think of God's mercy and His future glory. God will completely defeat the devil. God will someday cast him into the lake of fire. And so he cannot tempt us anymore in that new heaven and new earth. Romans 16, verse 20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. God will completely destroy the devil. Right now, God is still allowing Satan to tempt us. Right now, God is still allowing us to be tempted by the devil. But in the new heaven and new earth, there will be no more temptation, no more sin. Oh, we will be perfectly and permanently preserved from the presence of sin. I will end with this passage in 1 Thessalonians 5. So beautiful. Verses 23 and 24. It's actually a benediction. I sometimes use this in my benediction. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Those are not my words. Those words came from our faithful God, who will surely fulfill His promise. Yes, my friend, one day we will be perfect and we will be living, dwelling on the new heaven and new earth. No more temptations. And so let's anticipate that glorious day. Don't lose hope. Don't be discouraged. Focus on the second coming of Christ. Let us pray. Lord, oh indeed, Lord, deliver us from Satan. And lead us not into temptation. Give us grace, Lord, to resist the devil. And assure us again and again that in Christ we are righteous, not because of our own righteousness, for what we have is nothing but unrighteousness. But you have declared us righteous because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to us by faith. Lord, comfort us as we strive against the devil. And as we continue to fight against our own sin, that indwelling sin that still remains in us, oh, give us grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.